Cohen, Illinois Public Media News. West Nile virus has surfaced in Champaign County. State public health officials say a crow found in central Champaign last week marks the first positive result for the virus in central Illinois this year. Jeff Blackford is program coordinator with the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. He notes the discovery of birds carrying West Nile and mosquito pools are both occurring early this year. Typically, such signs of West Nile don't happen until August.
A lot of it probably has to do with the mild winter, the warm spring, and the very dry conditions that we've had so far. So it looks like the West Nile virus cycle has begun a little earlier this season than in the past couple of years in Champaign. You know, the issue is that the earlier you find dead birds or mosquito pools, the more likely there is to have a human positive case.
Champaign-Urbana Public Health also discovered a mosquito pool last week and is awaiting test results on that. According to Blackford, 80% of those infected with West Nile do not show any symptoms. Less than 1% show the most severe symptoms, which can include headache, high fever, neck stiffness, disorientation, and in the worst cases, coma and paralysis. Blackford says everyone should take the usual precautions, including using insect repellent and, as weather permits, wearing long sleeves and long pants. The first positive cases of West Nile this year were last month in Cook and DuPage counties. Indiana's drought is intensifying after weeks of moderate rainfall that have left cropland dry and raised the risk of wildfires. Open burning bans have been issued in at least 30 of Indiana's 92 counties. State climatologist Ken Scaringa says at the moment crops don't appear to be in critical danger as a result of the drought, but he says that could change if the dry conditions persist.
We're early enough in the season that even though it's dry now, if we do get moisture later on, the crops can recover. If this was July rather than June, we'd be more concerned.
Scaringa says the next good chance of rain is a week away, and temperatures are forecast to rise into the lower 90s in the coming days. Purdue University agronomist Bob Nielsen says even if rain comes soon, some of Indiana's hard-hit corn and soybean fields will still face reduced yields. Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan and Illinois Republicans came to an impasse this spring over what to do about the state's $83 billion pension funding problem. Governor Pat Quinn has been flexible about which approach he favors. At least that was the case until Monday. Brian Mackey reports.
Madigan and the Republicans agree that state and university employees, legislators, and public school teachers should have their benefits reduced. But they disagree over whether universities and school districts should gradually have to pay the retirement costs of their employees. Madigan says it would make those institutions more accountable for the benefits they give. Republicans say it'll lead to tuition hikes and property tax increases. Until now, Governor Quinn seems to have been more focused on doing something, anything, than quibbling over the different approaches. Now he's singing Madigan's tune.
I think it's time that we lay that out there and sort of deal with this canard that if you phase in a requirement that an employer have to actually pay the retirement costs of the contracts they negotiate, that's just simple, accountable government.
Quinn made his remarks after signing a law to create a state actuary who will look over the books for Illinois' five pension systems. He says he's been keeping in touch with legislative leaders and insists something must be done about pensions this year. I'm Brian Mackey.
About 50 members of two AFSCME unions picketed on the University of Illinois Quad Monday to contrast their demands for cost-of-living raises with the six-figure salaries granted to outgoing administrators. Clerical workers, nurses, librarians, and others were among those who joined the informational picket line that marched to the U of I's Swanland Administration Building. Their comments were directed at outgoing U of I President Michael Hogan, who goes on sabbatical next month with a $285,000 annual salary. The demonstrators also criticized Hogan's former chief of staff, Lisa Troyer, who holds a $100,000 appointment in psychology. AFSCME has been in contract talks since last July, and the U of I is asking that a federal mediator be brought in if an agreement cannot be reached by the end of this month. AFSCME spokesperson Tara McCauley says they are optimistic and not ready to resort to that. A university spokeswoman did not return a call seeking comment yesterday. Purdue University says its Board of Trustees will vote Thursday on selecting a new president for the West Lafayette, Indiana school. The new president will replace France Cordova, who is stepping down next month after leading the school for 5 years. A Purdue spokesman declined today to discuss any possible candidates for the position. Monday, the Champaign County Drug Court held its 26th graduation. This is seen as an opportunity for people with a history of substance abuse to make a fresh start. Siobhan Malone of Urbana was one of 8 graduates at the ceremony, and she brought her children along.
I just wanted to teach them that the lifestyle that I lived, I don't want them to live that same way. I want them to have a better life than I ever did. I have achieved a lot since I've been in a program, but I still have a long journey ahead of me. It's not over yet.
Since 2000, more than 160 people have graduated from drug court in Champaign County. Among the requirements to make it through the program, they must stay sober for 12 consecutive months and demonstrate a willingness to find a job. The new developer of Urbana's historic Lincoln Hotel is getting an additional loan from the city with the expectation it will open late this summer. The Urbana City Council last night unanimously agreed to sign off on the $400,000 in tax increment financing district funds. That's in addition to the $650,000 the city has already reimbursed developer Zhao Xuan. Alderman Dennis Roberts credits Xuan for well-thought-out planning.
We have a new porte-cochere that's built on the front to redefine the front of the hotel, which I think is a significant structural plus for the hotel as it's approached by visitors. Renovated lobby is going to provide assistance for those people with disabilities to reach the lobby floor.
Alderwoman Diane Marlin says the amended agreement is a big improvement over the first version, providing more protection for taxpayer funds. The money was made available in the form of a loan, only to be forgiven if the hotel operates for 2 years. If Juan doesn't live to his end of the agreement, he has to repay the money. Marlin says residents have to recognize that upgrading the hotel is just one piece of a larger plan for revamping the downtown area. In sports, the St. Louis Cardinals are on the road in Michigan, where they will face the Detroit Tigers tonight at 6:05 in the opener of a three-game series. Card starter Lance Lynn is 10-2 so far this year. That leaves him tied for the National League lead. Detroit plans to go with reigning American League MVP Justin Verlander, who is 6-4. The Chicago White Sox will hand the ball to Jake Peavy tonight at 7:10 when they try to avoid being embarrassed again by the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs blasted the Sox in a 12-3 win in the opener of the Crosstown Series last night. Peavy's 6-2 so far this season, though he is coming off a 1-0 loss to St. Louis. Left-hander Travis Wood will get the start for the Cubs tonight. He's 0-3 this season, looking for his first win. He's never pitched at U.S. Cellular Field or faced the White Sox. There's more news all the time at will.illinois.edu. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.